Is your business worth saving? Welcome to Business Rescue Roadmap, providing new approaches to your business, how to avoid pitfalls, and proven methods to take your business to the top. Save your business, rescue your life with your host and business coach, Stacy Tuschel.
Hello and welcome to the Business Rescue Roadmap. I'm your host, Stacy Tuschel. And on today's show, we have a special guest. His name is Joe Polizzi, and I'm so excited to introduce you to him. He's the founder of Content Marketing Institute, which is the leading education and training organization for content marketing. He also founded Content Marketing World. It's the largest in-person content marketing event. And Joe is the winner of the 2014 John Caldwell Lifetime Achievement Award from the Content Council. And now Joe's fourth book, Content Inc., was just released, and his third book, Epic Content Marketing, was named one of five must-read business books of 2013 by Fortune magazine. Joe, thank you so much for being here, and welcome to the Rescue Roadmap.
Stacy, thanks so much. That was very, very comprehensive. And the only thing you missed, actually, is the fact that I always wear orange, even when I'm on podcasts, and I'm wearing orange right now, just
nice.
For you.
So. And you know what? I saw that when I Skyped you. I think that was your little away message or something like that. I'm thinking of orange. I'm thinking of orange.
Always. Yeah. I can't go out of the house without orange.
So what's the story behind orange? Just your favorite color?
You know, I won't go into too much detail about it, but when I started that, so I left corporate America, started what is now Content Marketing Institute, and I started to do speeches and started to get a little bit of traction around it. And I just wanted to be faithful to the company colors, and the company color was orange and gray. So orange was the primary color. And I just started wearing orange shirts out to speaking events. And I got a gig then, I don't know, it was about 9 months, 12 months later in Brussels, Belgium. They'd never heard me speak, never saw me before, but they loved my blog post and said, Joe, would you come over to Brussels and did you give a keynote speech? I said, great. And I said, what, anything I should know? I said, the only thing is you have to wear a black tuxedo. And I said, that's fine. I'll wear whatever you want. You're bringing me over to Brussels. I'm happy to wear whatever you want me to wear. I go over, I do the gig in the black tux. I come off stage and kid you not, there's three people in Belgium that come up to me and say, why aren't you wearing orange? Or asking me like, why aren't you wearing? And I'm like, what? Like, I didn't even know it was a thing. Like right. I branded myself that way. But then nice. I look back and every picture that was taken of me on the web, I'm wearing an orange shirt. And from that moment on, I'm like, I think I got to go all in.
Then
I went off the deep end in orange. And now I don't even have clothes that aren't orange anymore.
All right, great. Well, thank you for filling us in. I love that. All right, so the first section we're going to dive into, Joe, is called Commit to Win or Cut Your Losses. So basically, what we want to know, what are the choices that you've had to make with your business to really deciding that you're going to commit and have this successful business? Take us back, you know, fill us in, let us know what decisions you had to make before you decided, am I really going to do this? Do I have a business here?
Well, it was interesting. I'll take you back to 2005 or so. So I'm an executive at a large business to business publishing company. And I had this crave to be an entrepreneur, to launch my own business. And I was talking to my wife and my family about it. And I was like, this is something I want to do. And basically kept talking about it all the time. And my wife said, look, you have to either do it or don't do it. Like, are you just going to talk about it forever? And I was always like, well, you know, the kids, they were 2 and 4 at the time. You know, I'm like, my wife didn't work. I'm like, where are we going to get income from? And I don't have enough saved up. It's not the right time. And that's when I really realized that there's never a good time to launch a business. You can make excuses till the cows come home. There's just never a good time to do it. So what we did, I talked to my wife and I said, look, at the end of March 2007, so the end of the first quarter of 2007, I will leave my job. And we had this conversation in the middle of 2006. So that gave me some time to prepare, but I actually set the date. And that was critical to actually setting the date. I wrote it down, which is another critical thing. I'm a big believer in writing things down. Write those things down, review them on a regular basis. And I knew every day I'm looking at it. Okay, I'm leaving. I'm starting my business. It's going to be, you know, April 1st, 2007. I've got to get things rolling. I'm leaving my company. And actually, believe it or not, Stacy, my last day at Penton Media, who I was employed with at the time, was March 31st, 2007. And the next day I was open for business as what is now Content Marketing Institute. And so that was that was the big deal for me. And the big learning of that is not only for those people that are listening that want to start a business, like there is no good time, first of all. So if you're going to do it, just do it. But the writing down of your goals, I think, is the most critical thing I can give to anyone. So if somebody says, Joe, what's changed your life? Like, what's the thing that has made the most difference to you? It's actually writing down my goals, whether those are career goals, financial, spiritual, philanthropic, whatever the case is, and physically writing them down in a notebook and reviewing those every day. And that keeps me focused on what I need to do to be successful every day.
Yeah, and I do the same thing. I 100% agree with you. And it's funny because somebody like you and I, we hear that all the time. So we just think everybody's doing it. And then I'll hear somebody say, you write goals down? Like, they're shocked that I would have it on a sheet of paper actually written down. So
nobody does it. Nobody. Like, I mean, so let's say that I've got my 10 to 15 closest friends. I can, and they're probably listening to this, I can guarantee you that maybe only one of those people have goals that are written down. And I guarantee that person that has goals written down aren't reviewing them every day.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, so interesting. So as much as we hear it, you have to actually do it. Don't keep listening to people say, write those goals down, really do it. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about looking within, and what personal strengths would you say that you have that's allowed you to really maintain a strong and successful business?
Boy, there's besides a loving wife and family, mm-hmm. and a patient wife, I would say, first of all, I have to say that patience is so critical. And it's been so critical because, and I actually just talked to one of my friends the other day, just started his business, left his job, started a business in November. And here it is, a couple months later, and very distraught, not seeing things happen. And I talked to him and I'm like, really? Did you have expectations you were going to be successful in 3 months? I mean, like, seriously, like you didn't, you have to know that it's going to take well over a year. This is not a unicorn business model. This is not Facebook. This is not Instagram. This is the real world here, mm-hmm. where we create a real business. It takes 12, 24 months plus to even make an impact. And to even, by the way, and most of the times when you start a business, you're going to pivot on it anyways, because you don't know your customers well enough. You don't know your audience well enough. So you're going to change that business model. So you have to go in it with the mindset of setting your small goals, hitting those goals on a regular basis. But you know that the big thing is going to happen. It's going to take a while to do that. I mean, I had a come to Jesus moment. This is the end of 2009, where the initial business model for Content Marketing Institute wasn't working. We were like a matching service for content marketing for agencies and brands. The financial model simply wasn't working. I got a call from my best customer. They said they didn't want to re-up. And I'm like, this is my best customer. They don't re-up. I'm in serious trouble. And I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm going to have to go back and go, get a real job. And I'm already broken. I can't be an employee anymore. What am I going to do? And I actually looked at it and then I had reassessed. I said, well, it really has only been 2 years. Now, I'm saying only 2 years. Now, what's amazing is that we pivoted a little bit, and 6 months later, it was an incredible success. So I went from the biggest failure in the world, and then 6 months later, an incredible success. That's what patience gets you. So you have to do whatever you need to do to hang on as long as you can and focus on the needs of your customers and really work at it on a daily basis, because you don't know when you're going to turn that corner. So I'd say, if anybody listening to this, if you're thinking that success will come inside 3 years, you really should probably reassess, because if you don't have patience and focus, it's not going to happen to you right away.
Yeah, I found that overnight success, those stories, those are few and far between. And people you might think were an overnight success, when you actually talk to them and hear their story, it's usually what you just said. You know, it's usually, well, I've been working on this, or I did this. And it's hard work. I mean, this is what you're getting into when you're doing, I mean, anything. It's hard work. You've got to put in those hours.
I got the same thing. So in 2011 was the year that everything really took off. That was our first year for our big event, Content Marketing World. And it just, the magazine Chief Content Officer took off. The website was just going gangbusters. And I got it all the time. I was like, oh my gosh, like, you really hit on something. Like, I can't believe it just took off. And I'm like, just took off? Are you kidding me? I said, first of all, I've been in the industry for a dozen years. I said, second of all, this is we're well into our third, fourth year now.
Right.
Really making this happen. I mean, now we're just about to celebrate our ninth year. year and things are really rolling, but man, you've got to do whatever it takes. And sometimes, I mean, you're chief cook and bottle washer. Is that what they say? You're doing a little bit of everything, Knowing that hopefully as you're making that list of things you don't want to do and that you're not good at, you can start to delegate those things as you go and focus on what you're really good at, what you're really passionate about.
Yeah. And it reminds me, I just recently joined Periscope, and the first time I went on, I had one person watching, and it's like you're just constantly discouraged, but then you just got to keep doing it and you got to keep practicing and put in that work. And then you're going to have people jump on specifically to watch you and to follow you. And it just takes time to build that up. And every time I go on, I have more people following, I have more people joining, and they're interacting with me. So it's just, you've got to keep going.
Well, and then this is my whole area, right? This is okay. Yes. So content marketing is, And you know this, but most people don't. They start to create content. They want to tell stories. They throw it all up over the web and they don't really think about what has made media companies great for, 100 plus years. It's consistently delivering valuable information in one platform, in one content type for the most part, consistently. So most small businesses, most entrepreneurs, they'll do a blog here and there. They'll do a podcast here and there. Maybe the newsletter goes out, maybe it doesn't. But if you look at every successful media company since the dawn of time, they consistently deliver. If that's every day, every week, every month, every year, they're always there. And we want to set an appointment with our audience. So for you, the first, it was just one person. And the next time you probably did the same thing. Hey, now there's 10. Now there's 50. Now there's 100. Now there's 1,000. I mean, when I first started the blog, my first blog post was April 26, 2007. In the first 6 months, the only person that was reading my stuff was my mom, and she had no idea what I was talking about. Right. Now, today, I mean, now we've got millions of people every month coming to our blog, but that took, I mean, right. It took time to do that because we've delivered content every day, and we haven't missed a day for the last 6 years.
Now, when you say consistent, do you have a recommended number? I mean, is it once a week, twice a week, monthly? I mean, what? Give us some idea of what makes the best.
Absolutely happy to. Now, the most important thing is not the frequency, it's the consistency. So let's say for the resources you have, for the time that you're willing to put into it, you can only do once every other week. Okay, well, that's what you're doing. Let's say it's a blog post and you're going to really do this unbelievable differentiated blog post every other Monday on your website. Great. That's what you can do. Just do it consistently. And every other Monday, you're delivering that, not just any time during Monday, you're delivering that at 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern time. And that's what that's the expectation you're setting. That's the promise that you're making with your audience. Now, when I first started, I was doing three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Now we're doing, then we went to 5 days a week. So Monday through Friday, then we went to every day. So, and we've kept that for the last 3-4 years now, just doing and producing every day. If it's a podcast, it could be weekly. If it's a video series, it could be monthly. But from let's say it's an e-newsletter, the least frequent I would do it is monthly. Because if you do it every other month, you're just not going to get in front of people enough. I would say if I'm starting out, you would have to do something at least weekly. Because if you don't get in front of that customer on a regular basis, that audience on a regular, they're going to forget about you. You have to stay in front of them consistently. So that's the most important thing. So what I see happen a lot with entrepreneurs starting blogs or podcasts, they start off with a rush. They'll like do, the first week they do 3 or 4 blogs and it's going great. Then the next week they do 2. The next week they do 1. They skip the 4th week. Maybe they do 1 the next month and then they just stop. That's the majority of businesses out there.
Yep.
And you have to, so whatever it is, whatever that frequency is, I've seen it work in every different way, but whatever you pick it as a consistent format, and you make sure that you're going to deliver on that promise every week, every day of every year.
Great. And I think what's helped me stay accountable is I share exactly what I'm going to do. So I'll tell them, you can expect 3 podcasts from me every single week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They know when they're getting it. And I give them that expectation right away up front. So that makes me want to deliver. Whereas if you're not clear about that, you can slack off at the end and start doing it monthly or quarterly. So I like that. I'm so glad you shared that with us.
Well, it's the same thing with your goals. I mean, you know, from writing down your goals, you actually want to share your goals with other people because it keeps you accountable. It's the same thing. That's a great point, Stacey. That's the same thing with your content. Keep your audience will keep you accountable. So what you want, and this is the mark of a great entrepreneur, media company, whatever the case, that's building an audience. If you don't, let's say for something happens and your podcast doesn't come out, you want people to complain. Right. Like they want to know, hey, where's that? Where to go? I missed the podcast. Maybe I didn't get the link. Maybe I didn't get the RSS feed. What happened? You want that. So you want to think about, well, what if my content wasn't around? Like, would people miss it? And I just did a small business workshop. This was in at the end of 2015. And there was about 50 entrepreneurs there. And I asked them all the question. I'm like, if you stopped with the e-newsletter, if you stopped with the blog, if you stopped with the Facebook post, would anybody miss it? And nobody raised their hand and said their customers were going to miss it. I said, we got a problem. Let's go right back to the beginning, because we've got to figure out how we're going to tell a compelling story, cut through all that clutter so that you can actually earn some attention.
Great. Excellent. So let me ask you, I'm going to move into my money section. We talked about money really does matter. Those numbers really matter. Can you take us back? You know, have you had financial mistakes? Is there anything that stands out or pops out to you? A mistake that you made financially that you would love to share to help somebody else not make that same type of mistake?
Man, I've made a lot. I mean, we could take the whole rest of the show and talk about the number of financial mistakes that I've made. I think the biggest issue, and this goes to finance, was when we launched the company originally, I had an idea that I thought was going to change the world, as most entrepreneurs do. I'm like, oh my gosh, this was this matching service that we were going to match up brands with agencies. It's just going to be phenomenal. Agencies are going to love it. They're going to want to pay for it. We put a ton of money into creating the algorithm and the technology behind that, and basically launched the idea without really understanding whether or not my audience wanted to get it or not. And what we realized is that as I was building an audience, as I was getting the blog posts out there, the majority of those people, they didn't have a need for the service. So maybe 1% of my entire audience actually needed the service at any one time. You can't do that. I could never make my money back on the algorithm expense. And then this was back, you know, then I got to 2009 and I realized, oh my gosh, this isn't going to work. What's going wrong? And I actually started to look at the feedback I was getting and what my audience was asking for. They were asking for education. They were asking for training. They were asking for all kinds of other things that had nothing to do with the product and service I was offering. So that's kind of the biggest mistake, is don't throw money at an idea unless you are absolutely positively sure your audience wants it. So that's why I love the whole idea. And I talk about this in my new book, Content Inc. Build the audience first. Build an audience that knows, likes, and trusts you. And once you build an audience like that, you can sell them whatever you want at that point, because they absolutely trust you, instead of forcing a product into the marketplace that they don't absolutely need. So I think in order to be less risky or hedge your risk, go out there, build the content platform, build that audience, and then you can launch your products and services and monetize separately. Secondarily, most businesses don't like to do that. They want to go out with the product, but I think absolutely the best way to launch a company is the opposite. Build the audience first and then launch the products or services.
You never know what direction you're going to go in. You might have this clear vision on what your business is going to be, and then your audience wants something completely different. You had a similar story to Jill Stanton. She's from Screw the 9 to 5, and she was on the podcast, and she talked about the same type of thing. She launched this program that nobody wanted. They spent just thousands and thousands of dollars. And then basically now her lesson is she sells before she creates. So she'll sell something that doesn't even exist just to see if it's going to go. And that is risky. I mean, you have to make sure that when you work that fast, you still deliver content, but they're doing it. I mean, they really are delivering, and their followers are just eating it up.
That's a great point. I cannot recommend that highly enough. I mean, so as we were blowing through money and had no extra money, this is the end of 2009, I'm going into 2010, wanted to launch, repivot as Content Marketing Institute, but I didn't have the funds to develop the site or get the content or hire the people we needed to hire, and went out to partners and sold it beforehand. We created a program called the Benefactor Program. We put a package together where they all got exposure on the site. They got the opportunity to create content. They got banners. They had sponsorships as part of our emails, and sold that ahead of time and sold the dream. And basically put these packages together. We said, we're going to limit it to 5. We ended up selling the 5. I got enough funds in order to create the site. And then we were off and running. So I That's absolutely fantastic advice, and I can't recommend that highly enough to anyone listening.
Great. Thank you for sharing that story.
You got it.
I love that more people are doing this. It's great for our listeners to know. Now, let me go into the marketing section of this and ask you, you know, given your experience and your knowledge in this area, what is one of the greatest marketing lessons you've learned? I mean, share something with us that our listeners can take away.
I think so many entrepreneurs out there, they're trying to target as many audiences as they can because they don't want to limit their chances of selling something. And that's the totally wrong approach. So what we actually want to do is you want to focus on one very particular audience, very, very specific. So let's say that instead of targeting pet owners, I'm going to target as somebody that own maybe a dog owner that likes to travel around in recreational vehicles in Southern Florida, something that specific. And I'm telling you, that's as specific as we need to get, because if you're going to build an audience online, you better be that specific, because there's no way, if you're trying to target just pet owners or multiple types of people, there's no way that you can be relevant enough with your content to cut through. So you've got to be really specific for that person, and they feel that that content is just for them. So my biggest recommendation would be you cannot boil the ocean with your content. If your content you're creating to build your audience is just like everyone else's, or you can find it anywhere, you are not going to break through. You could blog till the cows come home. You could pick the right content type, the right platform, the right social media strategy, the right distribution. You could do all those things right. And if you're not focused on a content niche that you could actually be the leading expert in the world, it's not going to work. And 99% of companies out there don't do that. They're creating content just like everyone else's. They're not going to cut through the clutter. They don't differentiate. We call that the content tilt. You have to tilt your content just enough that you can find an area of little to no competition on the web where you actually have a fighter's chance to break through. That is so critically, it's the most important part when you're marketing to build your business online and to build your visibility and your audience and build a subscription base. So you've got to start there first.
Yeah, the internet is a big, big world. And if you want to try to get on the front page of Google, you've got to narrow it down. Great advice. So here's one of my favorite questions, and I always get very different answers when I ask other entrepreneurs. Can you define work-life balance, and does it exist for you? Does it exist, I should say, in general? Do you believe anybody has it? And then more importantly, do you feel that you have it?
I think there was a time where I didn't have it. First of all, I think it is possible, absolutely, to have a work-life balance, and it just depends on where your focus is. Now, I have a home office, so that technically I could be working all the time. I mean, anybody can work all the time today, right? If you've got a smartphone, you pretty much have all the technology you need. You can work all the time and you can get everything you need. But that's where it goes back to goals. Like, what are your personal goals? What are your family goals? What are your philanthropic goals? What's important to you? So if you get up every day and you read that, and let's say, you know, one of my goals is to be really close. I have two sons, two boys, so to 12 and 14 years old. And I want them to grow up having a relationship with their father. That's really important to me. So that means that when I'm not working, when I'm not in front of my laptop, or I'm not out speaking or traveling all over the world or whatever I'm doing, I'm with them. I'm focused on them and their needs. It doesn't mean we can't talk about business. I mean, they know all about the business. I mean, they can tell you word for word what the definition of content marketing is what most of the people in the world can't. But so they understand that, but I'm with them. So I'm playing basketball with my son, or we're fixing, you know, electronic devices with my other one, whatever the case is, and being with them. So that's what I think is important about work-life balance. And that's the same for, I mean, we take the kids on vacation and I've got to do a speaking gig. I'm technically on a work trip, but, you know, as soon as I'm off there, you know, we're into it. We're doing something fun. We're with the family. So I think it's absolutely important. You have to figure out what your priorities are. And I really do think if you let your business seep into every part of your day personally, you're probably going to burn out at some point. I just don't think that's possible. Now, let's just say that's all that's important to you. If that's all that's important to you and you don't have a family or you don't care about your family, fine. Go ahead and do it. Yeah, you can be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week and do that. But to me, my work is not the most important thing in my life.
Yeah, when I think about my children, I've got two girls, I'm thinking about, I want to be a role model for them. I want them to want to be an entrepreneur just by looking and watching at what their mom is doing. So if I'm constantly working, they're not going to want to do what I'm doing. So that is something I always think about.
Yeah, it's like, that's the greatest thing about being an entrepreneur and owning your business. You can call your own hours. You can work whenever you want to. And that's why you and I probably can't go back and work for somebody anymore, because we don't want to work the 9-to-5 schedule or work when somebody else wants us to work. So that means, I mean, when the kids were really small, that means that, you know, I could, after they, let's say they got home from school, so it was 3 o'clock, three to eight period before they went to bed, you know, I could hang out with them. I could be with them in mind and spirit and body and whatnot. And then after 8, when they went to bed, I can go back to work and do the stuff I need to do.
Yeah. Having those separate times and being present no matter where you are is absolutely the key. Great. So tell me about employees. If you have a team or you're delegating, outsourcing, I know with the size of company you have, you've got to have somebody outsourcing and delegating. So what's something you feel that you've maybe mastered that some of us are still struggling with when it comes to our employees and our team?
Well, we are huge believers in the 1099 here at Content Marketing. We have a lot of contract workers. The majority of our team members are contracted. And it actually works out really well. So what we believe is you can find the smartest people on the planet if you give them flexibility to live the lives they want to live. And you're just very specific about what you need to have done. So when we put agreements together they're basically, everyone's running their own business. They're taxed like that as well. We can't tell them exactly when they need to work, but we say, these are the things, this is a specific job we need you to do. And so we agree on, okay, here's the retainer. We think it's going to take 20 hours a week. This is what you need to get done. We share the vision. We share that passion for the organization with them. And it, in some cases, like, I guess the one thing that we're really proud of as an organization is we've never had anybody voluntarily leave as a significant contract worker of ours. They've never left in the 9 years history of CMI. We've never had anybody leave. They just continue to work with us because they love the flexible schedule. We put family first. We always say that whatever happens, your family comes first. Work is secondary. Family first. We're all on the same page with that. I think people really love that. And what happens is when we all get together, because we all work at different parts of the country. So when we do get together, we usually only get together for one annual meeting a year. It's just like family, and everybody loves each other, and they all set their own meetings, and they're really good about it. And we're just very specific with what needs to be done. Everyone in the organization knows what the KPIs are. Everyone knows the revenue and the financials. We share that specifically so they understand how we're doing. And maybe the most important thing is how they, their role leads to revenue. So we want them to know what they do has a role in leading to revenue and profit. And so I can't say, like, I don't believe in, if you're going to start a business, oh my God, I got to hire employees. I don't believe that. I think that you look at, as an entrepreneur, you look at the things that you're not very good at and things you don't want to do. And you find people to take on those certain things and outsource that. And then you go from there.
Yeah. And in today's world, it's so, when you said they're all over the country, I mean, it's so easy to find people like that will be an independent contractor. And I think that shows, it says a lot about your company that you had that low of turnover in 9 years. I mean, that's amazing.
We love them. I mean, it's amazing. Like when I talk to other media companies, because we're a media company model, as we really are, publisher media. When I talk to other people, they're like, there's no way I can't believe that model even exists. And I'm like, we can keep our overhead low. We can move faster than anyone else out there. And we can be nimble. And it's just, I don't know why you wouldn't use that model. Instead of the other, because a lot of people say, oh, well, they're not as loyal, or you have to get, you know, there's no loyalty today.
Right.
I mean, an employee could leave just as well as a contract worker.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
But I think a contracted worker in a lot of cases is better, because you don't have to tell them what to do. They don't have to come into the office every day. And and we minimize meetings. We hate meetings at Content Marketing Institute. Like we better absolutely make sure that there is a meeting is necessary, because in most cases, meetings are a waste of time. So if we're going to have a meeting, let's get the agenda. Let's keep it as short as possible. We end when we're going to end. And we go on and do what we need to do.
Yeah, and I like the idea with the independent contractors. As long as the work is getting done, why does it matter when they're doing it? You know, unless you need somebody answering your email from 8 to 4, it's probably not as urgent for them to be doing it at a specific time of the day.
No, especially when you're building an audience. I mean, if you're creating content You have an editorial calendar. You're trying to build that audience. You're 2, 3, 4 weeks ahead of schedule. There's nothing super urgent that ever has to happen because you've already got the content in the pipeline. You know when the email's going out. You know when you're doing the webinar. You know when you've got the event. So all those things are planned ahead of time.
Okay, great. Well, and let me ask you too, what do you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur?
Oh, I like the ability, the freedom that I can do whatever I need to do with my family. If we ever want to go on a vacation, if I want to surprise the kids and we want to grab them from school and head and do an overnight and go to the Lego store or go do, you know, if we want to go and see our family in Florida, we can do it. We absolutely have the freedom to do it. The kids absolutely are spoiled with that because they don't understand why, you know, we pick them up and say, hey, we're going to go to Niagara Falls this weekend because we can.
Right.
Because we absolutely can. So I just love the freedom. I mean, the financial, like once you get to a certain point and the financials are there and we're very successful now, I mean, that's wonderful. I love that aspect of it. But I didn't become an entrepreneur because I wanted to have a $1 billion company or anything. I did it because I wanted the freedom and I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss out on those important moments with the boys.
Great. Joe, let me ask you, do you have, especially in an online world, do you have a go-to tool that has helped save your business that you just would love to share with us? So anything online that you use, whether it's a storage solution or project management, is there any tool that you can think of that you'd like to suggest?
Oh, there's lots of little ones. I'm sure you get them all the time. I mean, Dropbox is a critical tool for our organization. Dropbox, they're storing all the documents so that we can be anywhere we need to. We can get our documents however we have to. We also use Google Docs, Google Spreadsheets. We almost exclusively work in those formats so that wherever we're at from any device, we can get the information we need to get to. And then, you know, I don't really care like what your content management system is or what your email system is, but having a powerful publishing CMS, we use WordPress, and then having an email system that can deliver your email and make sure they deliver. There's that you're getting to those inboxes and you're getting the data you need to get to. Those things are just critical things of doing the business. So if I'm starting over tomorrow and you said, Joe, you know what, you're starting fresh. What are you going to do? I can say, look, if I've got a content management system that's not going to cost me very much money, like a WordPress, I've got an email solution, and I'm using something like a Dropbox or a Google Docs, that's all you need. That's all you need to do to get going. Now, on a personal level, I have an app that I use that I swear by. It's called Body Weight, and it's because I travel a lot. And it's like a 20 to 25 minute workout that you can do every day that you don't need equipment to do. So you can use the furniture that's in the hotel room or whatever. So I swear by Body Weight. So that's the personal app that I use that I can't do without.
Perfect. I love that. And that's something I have not heard of. So I'm excited to share that with our listeners as well.
Great.
And one thing that you made me think of with Dropbox, there are free levels with Dropbox. I mean, a lot of people can do with just the free level. But what I want to tell you is when you hit the level where you need to start paying, it is still so minimal. I think it's like $99 a year for the personal, and it's so
That's
much
right.
storage. And I pay for Dropbox for business, and people are like, why would you pay for that? It's still so inexpensive when you're thinking of what with all my videos and things like that, I've got to have storage. So Dropbox is absolutely my favorite go-to for storage as well.
Yeah, I think I don't know many people that don't use it now. It's they've just quickly taken over the cloud storage area. And I'm under the assumption that Amazon's going to buy them out any day now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. And they're getting more and more popular. For a long time, I felt like nobody knew what it was. And now you hear everybody's using it. So very interesting to see them progress. So let me ask you last question before we go. If you could give some piece of advice to an entrepreneur who maybe they're going through a hard time, they're struggling, they're wondering, you know, do I keep doing this? Do I keep pushing forward? What would you tell them?
Oh, I would tell them a couple of things just as the very generic recommendation. And this is the thing. And when I get the question like, oh, Joe, if you went back 20 years, what would you do different? I would absolutely read more. I think that I've been open to so many new ideas, even with books that I'm reading that have nothing to do with anything. I just think different. The mind works differently. So the one thing that I've tried to do, so like my New Year's resolution is to read more books, and I've been able to do that so far this year. So I want to keep doing that. So that the one area is that. The second area is I really do believe, and I'm not just saying this because I'm this content marketing guy. I believe the business model of today and the future, with all the case studies and with all the amazing entrepreneurs I've been able to come in contact with, and you know, you're included, where you're actually building an audience. Just don't get so fixated that you're going to have this amazing product that's going to change the world. If you focus on the customer and on the needs of the customer and needs of the audience, they will tell you what they want to buy. People don't realize that. Like, and it's just amazing all the stories. Like, a really good case study is Brian Clark, who runs CopyBlogger. And CopyBlogger right today is one of the fastest growing software as a service companies. And he wrote the foreword for my new book. And I was talking to him about this. And he said, Joe, all I did for the first 19 months was blog. I blogged every day. Over that time, I built 200,000 subscribers. I didn't know what I was going to sell. And I just started asking my subscribers. And they told me exactly what they wanted. And then I built what they told me to build. And now we're incredibly one of the fastest growing companies on the planet. I mean, so we think it's like, I don't know why more people don't wreck it. I think it's because we want to sell right away. We want to monetize, but we don't realize that we have to build that relationship with an audience first. And once they know, like, and trust us, then we can introduce our products and services. It's a much easier way to market. And companies like that grow faster because you already have your customer database. It's your pre-customer database. It's called a subscriber database. And you just haven't offered them anything to buy yet. So I just think that if you're starting a business or you're struggling as a small business, that's just a better way to go instead of really struggling trying to figure out, oh, I've got to have the next Facebook or the next idea. No, you don't. Just focus on the audience that you know, the content topic that you know, that you're passionate about, that you have authority to communicate about. Consistently deliver value. Build your subscriber base, and then think about what you're going to sell.
Excellent. And, you know, I was definitely guilty of what you just said in the beginning with the selling. And I would get stuck on, okay, what do I do next? I just didn't know where to go or to take my business. And then somebody said to me, you're selling, you're not serving. And when they said that, it just clicked. Yep. And I just knew what to put out there. Every time I would do something, I'd say, I bet my audience would love to learn how to do this.
You know, a side moment. I know we're up on the last. This is just such a great case study. So Marcus Sheridan from River Pools and Spas is a great case study. If you ever, there's a bunch of stuff on the web about what he's been able to do. But he has a quote. We did a documentary called The Story of Content, and he has a quote in there. And I'm not going to get it exactly right, but what he said was, he said, The biggest day as an entrepreneur for me, the thing that changed my life was we went from a company that sells and installs fiberglass pools to a company that is the leading teacher in the fiberglass pool industry. And we just so happened to also install and sell fiberglass pools. And he said that changed everything about their company. And that's why they've been able to grow so fast, where they first focused on how do we teach, how do we serve, how do we help. And then if we do that really well, we'll be able to sell.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Before we go, can you tell my audience where can they find out more about you, your book, anything that you want to direct them to?
Sure. Yeah. So content-inc.com is where the book is available. Anywhere you want to buy the book, there's an ebook and a free chapter available. So you can check it out there. I'm available at Joe Polizzi on Twitter. It's probably the best place. And then we've got two conferences coming up. Intelligent Content Conference is in March in Las Vegas. And then the big show is Content Marketing World, contentmarketingworld.com, September, every year in September. So that's where you can find out more about those events.
Great. Well, Joe, as a, you know, the expert in content marketing, I had high expectations for this interview and you absolutely over-delivered. So thank you for being here and thank you for giving us such great content to move on with our day and to use this in our business. So thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for the opportunity, Stacey. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Business Rescue Roadmap. Be sure to visit StaceyTushel.com for more free content, videos, and online courses like the Get Focused Academy that helps you let go of distractions and take the action necessary to achieve your dreams. We look forward to helping you save your business and rescue your life here on the Business Rescue Roadmap.